Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a telephone line that is going to be very busy this week. It is the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. Each year, the Butterball Turkey Hotline gets thousands of calls during this week of the year, and they are gracious enough to record some of their favorite calls for us. Like when one woman called and a staffer was talking to her, and the staffer wanted to know whether the turkey that she was describing was frozen or thawed, she asked, "Well, what state is your turkey in?" And she said, "Florida." Right? Of course. One woman was disappointed that her turkey had such little meat, so she called the hotline, and after the talk line staffer talked with her for a while, they realized she had just had the turkey upside down the whole time she had been cooking it. And then there was a man who called to tell the operator that he had cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw. And he called because he wanted to know if the oil from the chain was going to affect the taste of the turkey. Well, the number is 1-800-BUTTERBALL if you need it this coming week. Well, as we approach Thanksgiving, I have a simple question for you this morning. How much is one word worth? What is the value of a single word? I love the story that is told of the time when Rudyard Kipling was England's most popular writer in those days, about 100 years ago. News spread rapidly that Kipling's publishers were paying him the exorbitant amount of $1 per word for his writings. And as the Cambridge University students heard about this, they decided that if Kipling's words were that important and they got such an astonishing amount of money, then they wanted to learn from him. So they grouped their money together and they cabled the author and sent him $1 with these instructions. "Please, Mr. Kipling, send us one of your very best words." To which he replied with a one-word telegram, "Thanks." It is indeed one of our very best words. Thanks. How much is that word worth? In fact, we could say this morning that if that word is worth so much, then shouldn't we hear it so often? It should be a word that makes the person who says it and the one who hears it feel so much better. It's a word that can brighten your day. It's a word that in its absence can create a sense of resentment. Have you ever held the door open for a stranger and the person walked right through without acknowledging your gesture to him or her? And maybe you find yourself thinking, well, how hard is it to simply look you in the eye and to say thanks? It is such a powerful word. Well, the writer of Proverbs tells us a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. That's Proverbs 25, verse 11. And that verse aptly describes the beauty and the power of an important word like thanks. The word thanks is an apple of gold in a setting of silver. So is it a word that we hear enough? Maybe to be more personal, is it a word that we say enough? In our text for this morning, there were 10 lepers who were healed from the horrible disease of leprosy. 10 lepers. All of them, we are told, as they made their way away from Jesus, were healed from this disease. But only one of the 10 turned around and came back to Jesus to say thanks. I wonder, why would only one of the 10 take the time to turn around and come back to say thanks to Jesus? Does that mean that he was the only one of the 10 who was grateful or appreciative? Certainly not. Surely all of these 10 were grateful and appreciative for what Jesus had done for them. They had been given a new life. They were the social outcast of their community. No one would be allowed in their presence by law. These 10 lepers had been healed of the AIDS disease of their day. And Jesus had completely restored their health. There's no doubt that all 10 of these lepers were grateful and thankful and appreciative. But the difference is 9 of them hurried on their way. They went home to see their family or to see their friends. They gathered together with others to rejoice and to celebrate. Now, to give them the benefit of the doubt, perhaps they intended to come back later and to find Jesus and to thank him. Maybe they were kept longer at home or with their family or friends or in their time of rejoicing and celebration than they intended. And when they came back, maybe Jesus was already gone. Or maybe in their excitement, they simply forgot until it was much too late. We don't know. We do know the only one that returned was a Samaritan. Maybe his home was farther away than it was for the others. Maybe he didn't have family. We don't know. But we do know that all 10 of them had to be grateful and appreciative, but only one turned around and came back to Jesus to say thanks. As I've reread and studied this passage this week, a question kept coming to my mind. Why is this story recorded in the Gospels? Why is this story so important that God wanted to make sure that this story was not only recorded in Scripture, but that it would be read and studied and discussed even 2,000 years after it happened? What is so important about this story? And what does it say to us about the importance of a simple 6-letter word, thanks? Well, this week we gather together with thanksgiving on our hearts and on our minds, and certainly it's true that every single person here this morning is thankful. All of us recognize God's blessings in our lives, and each one of us know what God gives to us and we receive each and every day of our lives. We know individually and we know collectively that we are a blessed people. And as we approach this week, as we look forward to all the celebrations, we do so with a sense of gratitude in our hearts and in our minds. We realize that we are thankful. But the season of Thanksgiving, as we are reminded in our text today, is not just a time to realize our gratitude and thanksgiving, but it is a time for us to give voice to our appreciation. It is a time for us to pause from our busyness and to say a heartfelt thanks to Almighty God. I wonder this morning, do you sometimes find it difficult to express your thanksgiving to God? Maybe not. Maybe for you, thanksgiving is something you've incorporated into your daily prayer. And maybe for you, every day of your life, you pause and you have no problem whatsoever saying the words of thanksgiving to God, expressing verbally your thankfulness and gratitude for all that God has given to you. So as you approach this week, Thanksgiving is simply another time to do what you constantly and continually do every day of your life, and that is to say words of thanks to God. But maybe for you, like the 9 lepers in our text, saying thanks to God is not always so easy or so natural. Some of us intend to express our thanks, but we get so busy, we get so caught up in all the activities and the events and the happenings of the season that we never really find the time or take the time to reflect on our many blessings and to pause and to say thanks. That happens sometimes. We have the best of intentions, but we never quite get around to what it is that we intended to do. Maybe that happened. with these 9 lepers in our text. Or maybe there's another reason that saying thanks to God is sometimes difficult for you. Sometimes maybe we don't know how to express our thankfulness in a meaningful or appropriate way. How can we actually say thanks to one who has given us so much? Are words an adequate expression of our gratitude for all that God has given to us? You know Andre Crouch's song, My Tribute, and how he aptly expresses exactly this difficulty when he says, "How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me? The voices of a million angels," he says, "could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee." It's possible that this is our experience in life. We just simply don't know how to verbalize the depth of the gratitude and appreciation that we experience. And maybe that's exactly what happened to some of these 9 lepers who did not return to say thanks to Jesus. When someone saves your life, when someone drastically changes the course of your life, when someone takes you and turns your path around 180 degrees, how can you express that gratitude? Probably all of us have seen those shows on TV where a person or a family has a home that, for a variety of reasons, has now become dilapidated or has had problems that have developed. And we've seen those shows where a crew will come in over the course of a week and they will completely revamp and change this home while the family's away. And then there's that scene at the end of the show where the family comes back and for the first time they see their new home. They're able to walk inside this house that has been completely changed. And so often when we see those kinds of shows, what we hear from the families as they walk through and see this incredible change is, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to put words to my gratitude. And that's a house. What about when it's your life? When the entire course of your life has changed such that you just simply don't know how to put words to your gratitude. God has given each one of us so much. How can we ever possibly say thanks to God? Is it possible that as we sit before our bountiful Thanksgiving meals, is it possible that a simple prayer is an adequate expression of our thankfulness to God? How can we say thanks to one who has given us so much? As I read this story, there's one thing that's so powerful about this one leper. It's not only what he says, it's what he does. Remember, Jesus tells the 10 to go on their way, and as they leave, as they go, as they traveled, they are cleansed. This leper not only said thanks to God, but he was the only one who stopped in his tracks and turned around and came back to Jesus to offer this word of thanks. In other words, here's what I think he says to us. Offering our thanks to God is more than just our words. Our words are important. It is vitally important that as we sit before a lavish Thanksgiving meal that is only a small fraction of our blessings in life, that we pause to say thanks to God. That is vitally important. But what this leper reminds us is his actions followed or coincided with his words. He didn't just stop on his track and turn around and wave to Jesus and say thanks. He turned around and came back to Jesus and fell at his feet in order to say thanks. I believe what he says to us is the only way to adequately say thanks to God is by committing our lives to the words of thanksgiving that we say. Think about it. How do you adequately say thanks to the people you love and share life with each and every day? We tell them we love them. We tell them we are thankful for them. And certainly our words are important. It's important to say these things, but ultimately our actions, our commitments follow through with the words that we say. We say thanks through our spoken words, but then our lives demonstrate that thankfulness through our commitment to the relationship we have with those individuals. Ultimately, we show our thanks not only by the spoken word, but also by loyalty, by devotion, by commitment to those people who are special to us. And the same is true in our relationship with God. Thanksgiving is ultimately expressed through commitment. There was a song that was so popular many years ago. It was called Gentle on My Mind. And the message of that song can be interpreted in many different ways, but as some listen to the lyrics of that song, they hear that basically the singer is stating that he loves his girlfriend so much because with her he wasn't, quote, bound by any ink that's dried upon some line, a marriage license. And this knowledge, this lack of commitment, has kept her ever gentle on the singer's mind. In other words, some hear the idea that love survives best in the absence of permanent commitment. One way to interpret the song is that the singer is saying, I love you so much and I'm so thankful for you because you don't ask much for me. Because I don't have to commit anything to you. That way, I can abandon you at any moment, and you're not asking me to make a commitment or to be obligated to you in any way. Now, I don't know if that's the message of that song or not, but what I do know is this. That's how some people live their lives. That's how some people live their relationship with God. In other words, sometimes they say, God, I'll try this faith thing for a while, and as long as things are going well, then I'll continue with it. But as soon as there are problems, I'm out. I wonder, is that the best way to say thanks? Do we express our gratitude by refusing to be committed? I don't think any of us would agree with that, but there's some Christians who at Thanksgiving would pray, thank you, God, for my many blessings, and thank you for not asking too much from me because I really don't want to be all that committed, but keep the blessings coming, God. I like the blessings. I just don't want the commitment. Of course, nobody would actually say that in their prayer, but sometimes our level of commitment to God shows that our commitment doesn't equal our words. I wonder how those words sound to Almighty God. It seems that God wants us to know from this one leper that the best expression of our thankfulness is when our commitment and our actions equal our words of thanksgiving. For here's the reality. What we come face to face with in our text for today is that God has done for each one of us exactly what Jesus did for these 10 lepers. God has cleansed us. He has forgiven us. God has given us a new life, an abundant life. God has taken the broken, wounded places of our lives and has brought about healing and restoration and making us completely new. And listen, that's something to be thankful for. And the very best way we offer our thanksgiving is through that one simple word, thanks, followed by our putting our thankfulness into actions in our commitment to our relationship with God. For in our heart of hearts, what we say at Thanksgiving is this, Lord, all of this, it is so much. You have given me so much. You have done so much for me, more than I could ever possibly imagine or deserve. How can I possibly say thanks? And the answer comes through this text. If you are truly thankful, say thanks. thanks, and then do something more. Live your thankfulness. Let thanksgiving be lived through the actions of your life. May thanksgiving be for you not only something that we say, but also something that we live each and every day. Let gratitude find form in your life. Give it hands. Give it feet. Give your gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness voice and sound and sight in your life. For Scripture says, freely you have received, now freely give. Our text reminds us today that a committed life, freely given back to God, is the very best way to put into action one of our very best words, thanks. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are reminded today that you have indeed given us so much. You have blessed us, Lord, far more than we could imagine or that we deserve. Help us, Lord, this week to not only say thanks to you, but also to recommit ourselves to our relationship with you so that every day of our lives, through word and action, our lives demonstrate our gratitude. So lead us and guide us through faith to be those kinds of people. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.